In the dimly lit throne room, a nearly forgotten man slowly advances towards the king. Each step he takes echoes off the stone walls, breaking the silence that envelops the place. Forgotten by the world and marked by tragedy, today he faces the moment that could rescue him from absolute anonymity. In a twist of fate, a single word from the king has the power to restore his lost honor or confirm his disappearance into the mists of time. But before we continue with our story, don't forget to subscribe and like this video. Your interactions are crucial for spreading God's message to more homes. Now, let us continue. In the turbulent days of Saul's reign, Israel was a cauldron of political and military tension. Saul, an imposing king, but often tormented by his own insecurities, faced constant challenges. From Philistine invasions to internal dissensions, he found himself balancing the prophet Samuel's advice with the people's demands. Within this charged atmosphere, the royal family held a central place in the kingdom's life. Jonathan, Saul's son and heir to the throne, stood out for his bravery and unwavering loyalty. His friendship with David, which began on the battlefield, was stronger than steel and promised a future where both could unite Israel under a just and strong leader. This relationship was seen with hope as a bridge over the turbulent waters of Israelite politics. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. 1 Samuel 18:1. In this context, Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, was born. His birth was an event full of joy and promise. The little prince was received with rejoicing, seen as a continuation of Saul's line through Jonathan. He grew up within the palace walls, laughing and playing under the watchful eye of his father and his famous friend David, who saw in him not just a boy but the future of their alliance and friendship. However, tragedy struck this royal family. Fate struck hard when Saul and Jonathan fell together in battle on Mount Gilboa, an event that tore at the very fabric of Israel. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor-bearer, and all his men, that same day together. 1 Samuel 31:6. In the chaos that followed the news of their deaths, Mephibosheth, then a five-year-old boy, suffered a severe accident while fleeing with his nurse, who desperately tried to save him from those who might want to eliminate Saul's heirs. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel 4:4. Displaced from the line of succession and marked by his disability, Mephibosheth was taken to Lodabar, a distant and forgotten place, far from the court. In Lodabar, the boy grew up in modesty and relative peace, far from the greatness that had once been promised to him. There, in the silence of forgotten Lodabar, Mephibosheth learned to live with his disability, cultivating an inner strength that would prepare him for future challenges in a life that, despite its royal beginnings, took a very different path than expected. Lodabar, the place where Mephibosheth found refuge, was a land of forgetfulness, a remote and marginalized corner of the Kingdom of Israel. There were no grand palaces or lush gardens, only modest houses scattered among barren fields and naked hills. Life there passed slowly, marked by fieldwork and shepherding, far from the hustle and bustle of the Jerusalem court. For Mephibosheth, Lodabar represented both a hiding place and a prison without bars, where the shadow of what his life could have been always followed him. Over time, rumors about David, his father's old friend and now king of Israel, began to reach Lodabar. Stories of his victories, his justice, and how he had united the tribes of Israel under his command were told. Mephibosheth listened to these stories with mixed feelings. On one hand, he was glad to know that his father's friend was thriving and was a good leader. On the other, each story was a reminder of everything he had lost. Often, Mephibosheth would retreat to the hills surrounding the village to gaze at the horizon and daydream about a different fate. He remembered the stories his nurse told him about Jonathan and Saul, about the glorious and tragic days of battles and promises. He longed for a life where he could have walked the palaces and councils, a life where his disability did not define every aspect of his existence. Although resigned to his life in Lo-Debar, Mephibosheth's desire to be part of something greater, to reclaim a fragment of his father's legacy, never completely disappeared. In his heart, he held the hope that one day, somehow, his story could once again intertwine with the destinies of David and Israel. One peaceful morning in Jerusalem, as David sat in his chambers, reflecting on past times and promises made, a question sprang from his lips to one of his servants. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" 2 Samuel 9:1. Driven by a sense of loyalty and the memory of his covenant with Jonathan, David began the search for any living heir who might have been forgotten over time. In Lo-Debar, the news that King David was searching for any descendant of Jonathan fell like a lightning bolt on Mephibosheth. With a pounding heart, he prepared for the journey to Jerusalem, a journey filled with anxiety and hope. Accompanied by some of the king's men, he traveled through landscapes that seemed to paint a completely different narrative from his life in Lo-Debar. Each step towards David's city was a step towards an uncertain future. Upon arriving in Jerusalem, Mephibosheth was taken directly to David's presence. With assistance, he approached the throne, his heart beating strongly as he prostrated himself before the king, aware of his own fragility and the majesty of the place. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." 2 Samuel 9:6. David, upon seeing him, did not see a broken man, but the son of his dear friend. And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." 2 Samuel 9:7. David's promises were overwhelming, not only restoring his lands, but also his honor and hope. Mephibosheth, deeply moved, responded with humility, hardly believing the magnitude of the change his life was taking. And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" 2 Samuel 9:8. This encounter marked not only a change in his status, but also in his heart. For David's kindness showed him that even in disgrace, the fidelity and love of past promises could bring redemption. In the following days, Mephibosheth adapted to life at court, a world apart from the isolation of Lo-Debar. He quickly learned the customs of the court, surrounded by intrigues and opportunities. Eating at the king's table as one of his sons was an honor he never thought possible. Every moment, he was amazed to be living in the midst of Israel's history as the protagonist of a chapter he thought would never be written for him. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. 2 Samuel 9:13. However, the stability of the court was threatened during Absalom's rebellion, David's son, whose charisma and ambition led him to challenge his father's authority. Amid this turmoil, Ziba, the servant of Saul's house in charge of Mephibosheth's lands, saw an opportunity to rise in the hierarchy. With cunning and an eye on personal gain, Ziba presented himself before David with a false narrative, claiming that Mephibosheth had betrayed the king, hoping to reclaim his grandfather Saul's throne. David, already agonized by his son's betrayal and the urgent demands of civil war, reacted hastily to Ziba's words. Without the opportunity to verify the information and remembering his family's complicated history, David granted Ziba all of Mephibosheth's properties, wrongly believing he had sided with Absalom. Then said the king to Ziba, "Behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth." And Ziba said, "I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king." 2 Samuel 16:4. This decision was a devastating blow to Mephibosheth, who found himself stripped not only of his lands, but also of the trust of the one he considered his protector. The feeling of betrayal struck deeply at Mephibosheth. Stuck at court, he watched the events unfold with a sense of helplessness and anguish. His loyalty to David was unquestionable, but the circumstances prevented him from demonstrating his fidelity and clarifying his position. The injustice of the situation weighed on him, clouding his perception of the court he once considered a refuge. When Absalom's rebellion was quelled and order began to be restored, David returned to Jerusalem, facing the consequences of his flight and the decisions made amid the crisis. Among them, Mephibosheth's situation required attention. The court was expectant, wondering how the king would resolve the complications arising from Ziba's false accusations. Mephibosheth presented himself before David, bearing the marks of his suffering, not only physical, but also emotional. Throughout David's absence, Mephibosheth had neglected his appearance, a sign of mourning and solidarity with the king, reflecting his anguish and unwavering loyalty. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace, 2 Samuel 19:24. Now before David, Mephibosheth explained with a trembling but firm voice how Ziba had deceived him and distorted his intentions. He revealed that far from aspiring to the throne, his greatest desire had always been David's safety and well-being. And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame." 2 Samuel 19:26. David listened, seeing in Mephibosheth's face and words the sincerity of his heart. The decision was not simple, for the actions during his absence had changed the course of many lives. In a gesture that sought to balance justice and mercy, David determined that the lands originally belonging to Saul and granted to Ziba would now be shared between Ziba and Mephibosheth. And the king said unto him, "Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land." 2 Samuel 19:29. This resolution did not completely satisfy everyone, but it reflected David's desire to correct a wrong without causing more conflicts. Mephibosheth, for his part, showed a rare greatness of spirit. Before David's decision, he chose to relinquish his claim to the entire inheritance, saying, "And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house." 2 Samuel 19:30. His response demonstrated not only his forgiveness and loyalty to David, but also a profound understanding of what truly mattered: the peace and stability of the kingdom and David's well-being more than any earthly possession. Reflecting on the events, Mephibosheth came to understand that power and loyalty were concepts easily misinterpreted and manipulated. In his heart, he knew that true loyalty was a matter of personal actions and sacrifices, not empty words and promises. This understanding filled him with a peace that had been scarce in his life, marked by tragedies and manipulations. Over time, the relationship between David and Mephibosheth strengthened, finding new ground based on mutual respect and understanding. The court watched as Mephibosheth, despite all he had gone through, continued to show unwavering loyalty, earning a place of honor in the kingdom. Thus, within Jerusalem's walls, a chapter of reconciliation and forgiveness was written, where old wounds gave way to lasting peace. Through the years, both David and Mephibosheth learned valuable lessons from each other. David learned the true meaning of mercy and the importance of seeking the truth before passing judgment. Mephibosheth, in turn, taught everyone at court about the strength found in forgiveness and the peace that comes when one lets go of resentment and bitterness. These lessons not only shaped their relationship, but also left an indelible mark on all who observed and listened. His life became a testimony of how grace can lift the fallen, and how nobility of spirit can overcome the greatest physical adversities. Future generations look to Mephibosheth as a symbol of integrity and resilience, inspiring many to value justice and mercy above temporary advantages or material power. When Mephibosheth passed away, he was remembered not as the young prince who lost a kingdom, but as the man who gained the respect and love of an entire kingdom for his character and unwavering faith. In the epilogue of Mephibosheth's story, his legacy is regarded as a time capsule that captures eternal truths about human character and divine providence. His life teaches that in the dark valleys of betrayal and loss, the highest peaks of redemption and reconciliation can be found. Mephibosheth, through his life and legacy, remains a figure of profound relevance, reminding all that the greatest trials can give rise to the greatest victories of the human spirit. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24:13. After delving into this incredible story of Mephibosheth, I invite everyone to join in prayer. Let us close our eyes and open our hearts as we reflect on the lessons of mercy, justice, and redemption we have discovered through his life. Let us pray, Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you filled with awe for your grace manifested in Mephibosheth's story. We thank you for showing us how your love and mercy can transform the most difficult circumstances into testimonies of your power and goodness. Lord, like Mephibosheth, many of us face challenges and adversities that sometimes seem insurmountable. We ask that you strengthen us, give us the grace to forgive those who have wronged us, and the wisdom to act with justice and mercy towards others. Help us, Lord, to learn from David and Mephibosheth the importance of seeking the truth and acting with integrity. Inspire us to overcome our limitations and challenges with the strength you provide, showing the world your transforming power. May our faith in you propel us to live lives that honor your name, lives that are living testimonies of your grace and mercy, encouraging others to seek your face and your truth. We conclude this prayer in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, trusting that you continue to work in each of us, transforming our lives and guiding us to a future full of hope and peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us on this journey through Mephibosheth's story. If you felt inspired and wish to explore more transformative stories like this, subscribe to our channel. Don't forget to like this video and activate the notification bell so you don't miss any of our future content. We would love to hear your opinion, so please leave your comments below. Tell us what other biblical stories you would like us to explore, or if there is a specific theme you wish to delve into. Thank you for being part of our community. See you in the next video that is appearing on your screen.